some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
The Los Angeles Rams. Look, it took everything. The sacrifice, whatever they had to give up to win that Super Bowl 2 years ago. They got the Super Bowl, though. Welcome back, everybody. This is the FTN DataCast. Adam Pfeiffer here, continuing the team previews, part of our coaching and coordinating series. Over at FTNFantasy.com, read the articles, pair them with the podcast, and you'll be in good shape. The LA Rams up next, and you want to talk about polar opposite seasons between 2021, when they won the Super Bowl, and last season. Obviously, key players going down with injury played a huge role, but yeah, it was just, you know, the Rams didn't have any draft picks, you know, just, you know, trading, acquiring veteran players, mortgaging their future, and it worked. I mean, they got the Super Bowl. You can't argue. But now it's like, wow, this team might be in a full rebuild. We've already seen some steps towards that with some of the players that they've had to move on from. But we'll break down this team. Definitely the least exciting Rams team in a few years. But things can change very quickly in the NFL, as we've seen. So the article's up. The NFC West is complete. Rams and Cardinals are live on the site. Buffalo Bills will be up on Wednesday. So while you're listening to this, you know, after you listen to this, go check out the Bills article. As you'd expect, I enjoyed writing that one. But let's get into the LA Rams. And again, last season, I mean, it was tough, right? 5-12. Matthew Stafford, I believe, played 9 full games. 9? Maybe 10. And then obviously Cooper Kupp missed, you know, 6-7 games. So when healthy, we know, and like Cooper Kupp, he's my wide receiver 4-3. He's going to be amazing as long as Stafford's healthy. But let's talk about the rest of this team and the scheme, right? Sean McVay, once again, the head coach and the play caller for the Rams. He's been there since 2017. And we know that, you know, McVay has been a lot of 11 personnel and a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of motion overall, right? Three wide sets for the Rams, that's been a staple, whether it's been Kupp and Robert Woods, and I think Cooks is on one of those teams. Whoever it's, or even last year when it was, you know, Kupp and Van Jefferson and Allen Robinson, right? Like, doesn't matter. That's what Sean McVay wants to do. Last season, or in 2021, rather, the Rams ran 11 personnel 86% of the time, highest rate in the NFL. Last year went up to over 90%. So just, and that was interesting because like Robert Woods not there anymore. Kupp missed so much time. So they were running 3 wide sets at times with like Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson, and I don't know, Tutu Atwell, you know, Brandon Powell. So it's something you will continue to see. And because of that, like, yeah, Van Jefferson's gonna, especially with Allen Robinson gone, Van Jefferson's going to play almost every snap. He's pretty much the Rams version of Gabe Davis. You look at it, Allen Robinson, look, I was very high on Robinson last year. Complete, absolute swing and a miss, right? But it wasn't due to lack of opportunities and playing time. You look at Allen Robinson before he was hurt, weeks 1 to 10. They had a bye in week 7, so it was 9 games. Snap shares, 97, 90, 92, 99, 83, 86, 93, 89, and 92%. You go over to route participation, 96, 97, 92.5, 98.2, 89.3, 85.2, 88.8, 90, 90%. Targets were meh. He had at least 5 targets in every game except for week 1. Robinson obviously just didn't look good last season. I mean, Van Jefferson's going to be on the field 85 to 90% of the time. You kind of compare it to Gabe Davis, like I mentioned. The Bills, similar offense, they run a ton of 3 wide as well. Gabe Davis played like 86% of the snaps last season. He was top 15 in routes run. So, yeah, there's a path for Van Jefferson. And because they run so much three wide, 11 personnel, teams can't stack the box when, you know, they're running that spread offense. And that helped Cam Akers, right? Last season, Cam Akers, we had that incredible stretch down at the end of the season, but only 10.1% of his carries were against stack boxes, which are 8-plus defenders. That was the second lowest rate among qualified running backs. And then you go back to 2021, when Daryl Henderson was the lead running back, he only saw a stack box on 12.7% of his carries. That was the fourth lowest rate in the league. So, yeah, that, like, you can't really stack the box against teams that run so much three wide. So that is good overall for Akers to have some efficiency once again. And then I mentioned motion. McVay's used it a ton since joining the team. During the 2020 and 2021 seasons, the Rams were around 49% motion rate. Last season, they used pre-snap motion about 22% of the time. And again, motion and pre-snap motion, the difference obviously being one is just overall, the other is right before the snap. But yeah, their 22% pre-snap motion rate was one of the highest in football last season. They use a lot of pre-snap motion when they run the football in particular. According to FTN data, the Rams called 233 runs off pre-snap motion. That was the ninth most in the league. We saw Akers have a lot of success on those runs down the stretch. I tweeted a clip of a couple of them. And yeah, like Robert Woods had been in that pre-snap motion role of getting him in motion because he had been, for years, the best run-blocking wide receiver in the NFL. So they utilized that really well. And they were still using it with, you know, Powell and Tutu Atwell last season. And it actually worked. I mean, the Rams, despite not having the greatest run-blocking offensive line, they did a good job with that scheme for the run game down the stretch. There's also been a lot with the screen game in this offense. Obviously, Jared Goff was with this team for a while. From 2017 to 2020 with the Rams, Jared Goff was 9th, 8th, 6th, and 4th in passing attempts off screens, averaging 66 such attempts per year. I mean, Stafford, before he joined, we know Stafford from Detroit, always airing it out. Massive shots down the field with that strong arm. But his first season with the Rams in 2021, he was 5th in the league with 70 screen pass attempts. And although he only played 9 games last year, Stafford still had a 16% screen dropback rate, which is third highest in the league. And, like, it kind of makes sense, right? When the focal point of your offense is obviously Cooper Kupp and just get him the football. Like, 2021, Kupp was top 6 in both targets and receptions off screens. Last season, despite missing time, he was still top 7 in both departments. So I would expect him to be right up there contending for the league lead in screens once again. And then although, like, we know McVay calls the majority of the plays for this offense, the Rams do have a new OC this season, Mike LaFleur, who was with the Jets the last two seasons. I think it's a perfect fit. I think what LaFleur likes to do and what McVay likes to do are very similar. LaFleur obviously spent time in that West Coast Shanahan offense in San Francisco, kind of tried to get some of that with the Jets the past couple seasons. We saw the Jets, right? Their first year in 2021 with LaFleur, it was a massive uptick in pre-snap motion. LaFleur loves that. We also saw, like, with the Jets, a lot of that pony personnel, where it was, like, there's 21 personnel, which is strictly two running backs that can also be a fullback, and most of the time it is a fullback. But then there's pony personnel, which is two, like, actual, like for the Packers, A.J. Dillon, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. They were on the field together on the same play a lot. The Jets started to do that a lot with Breece Hall and Michael Carter last season. So the Rams aren't exactly loaded at running back. They actually just brought back Sony Michel today. But maybe they do some of that with, you know, Akers and Michel or Zach Evans if he gets on the field in his rookie season. And also probably see more of an emphasis on zone. LaFleur's obviously run that wide, you know, zone, outside zone scheme a lot with Kyle Shanahan, both in Atlanta and San Francisco. Akers ran more gap than zone last season. But I could see an uptick in zone for sure with LaFleur coming in and implementing some things in that offense. On the defensive side of the ball, Raheem Morris is still the DC. He's been there since 2021. I mean, a lot of zone defense from this defense in that season, And the way they use Jalen Ramsey was the past couple seasons has been awesome. He's pretty much played, like, we know Jalen Ramsey's one of the best DBs in the league, but how they've used him has been fun. It's been a lot of lining up at safety, lining up all over the field, inside, outside, blitzing. He played a lot of zone. He played almost like a third safety, which made the Rams really tough to pass on. Of course, now, and we'll talk about it, they have lost a ton of players in the defense. So, I think this could be a situation where they run the same kind of, defensive scheme, but they don't have the same players. They don't have Jalen Ramsey. They don't have Bobby Wagner. They don't have Leonard Floyd. Right? I mean, they still have, arguably the best defensive player in the league still in Aaron Donald, but they lost a lot. So if their defense takes a step back, only adds to the massive volume we should see from Cooper Kupp. Speaking of players that they have lost, you look at it, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, Ramsey to Miami, Leonard Floyd to Buffalo, Taylor Rapp to Buffalo, that's just on the defense. Bobby Wagner went back to Seattle. The defense took a hit. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, Allen Robinson with Pittsburgh. They could be in trouble on defense. They really could. So we'll see. I did like who they brought in via the draft. Steve Avila was one of my favorite offensive linemen in this draft class. He's versatile. He's experienced at TCU. He can play center. He can play guard. I think that'll help them a lot in the offensive line. Or they kind of, they've had like the last couple of seasons, they've had like some of the most different starting combinations of offensive lines in football. So they need some consistency there. I think Steve Avila will help them quite a bit. In terms of, other than that though, like free agency additions, there's really not much, right? I mean, honestly. It was a team that, like, we talked about, like, they didn't have picks to trade for anybody anymore. They didn't or draft many people to start with, obviously. And then their cap space wasn't great. So, like, they were kind of stuck. We did see them, I think, a couple days ago. They've restructured Cooper Kupp's contract, and we were thinking, okay, maybe they are looking at Dalvin Cook or, DeAndre Hopkins. But, like, they're kind of rebuilding all of a sudden. It's very strange how this is kind of, has come across. But yeah, Aaron Donald has to be great because this defense, the secondary is completely depleted. The pass rush outside of Donald isn't anything to write home about. So the Rams could be playing a lot more of these like 38, 35 type games, which we love for fantasy, that's for sure. Prediction wise, like for me, if this team, if Stafford and Kupp can stay healthy, they'll be good enough to like compete in the NFC West, not win it. I don't think, I just don't think they have enough talent anymore, especially with how much of a step forward Seattle took last season. And then of course how loaded San Fran is, but like, as long as Stafford can stay healthy and throw to Cooper Kupp 12 times per game and keep the offense. Because that's the thing with Akers, how he ended the season. Like, he was so good down the stretch, and that was on the, Mayfield-led Rams offense, right? I mean, you look at weeks 13 to 18, he had the most rushing yards in the NFL at 512, led the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 6, and he was 4th in fantasy points. He averaged 19.1 touches per game. Yes, they brought in Sony Michel today, but, like, Michelle, Zach Evans, who I'm not huge on. Like, I don't think anybody's really competing for touches with him. Fantasy wise, like, there's not a ton here, right? Like, I mentioned the case for Van Jefferson to kind of be like the NFC West even later version of Gabe Davis. Like, Gabe Davis goes like wide receiver 40. Jefferson goes even later than that. They're in very similar roles. The difference being, one's playing in an elite offense with Josh Allen, the other's playing in, an okay offense at best, probably. I do want to talk about Tyler Higbee real quick because, man, like, yeah, he was the seventh best fantasy tight end last season, but it was purely based off availability, right? there was just so little impressive efficiency with him. He had the ninth most, or the, he had nine drops. It was the most among tight ends last season. He had the lowest ADOT at 3.2. He had one deep target all year long. He was 25th in, among tight ends in fantasy points per snap. He had that 20.4% target share, which was great. It was top five among tight ends. And he has a chance to, once again, be second on the team in targets behind Cooper Kupp. But, like, if just one of the wide receivers takes a step forward and cuts that target share to, like, 16% or something, he is going to be brutal for fantasy because, like, he was so, like, again, he was also pretty good down the stretch, but it was simply based off volume. And, like, the receivers that were there alongside him when Kupp was out, you know, Van Jefferson, Powell, Atwell, Ben Skoranek, like, those receivers aren't getting the 12 targets per game that we're probably going to see from Cooper Kupp, who, oh, by the way, averaged 22.4 fantasy points per game in the games he played last season, would have been the most in the league, and he's at almost 25 fantasy points per game over the past two seasons. So don't overthink it with Kupp. He has double-digit targets in 20 of his last 26 games dating back to 2021. Target shares of 31 and 31.7%. Like, that's why I love having a top five pick in drafts this season. Because, okay, say you're at five, right? And it goes some order of Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek Hill. You can get McCaffrey or Kupp. Or whatever, McCaffrey goes three. You can get one of Tyreek Hill or Cooper Kupp with your fifth pick and have a top four wide receiver that has massive ceiling, massive floor, and then go from there. So, yeah. I think the Rams offense will be good enough, obviously. Like, they have some limitations because after Cooper Kupp, there's a lot of question marks at wide receiver. But as long as Kupp's healthy, and again, Akers had that wild season where he was hurt and then he wanted to be traded and then they were thinking about trading him and then they didn't. And then McVay gave him opportunities again. He became the lead running back and now he should be 18 to 22 touches per game. So it's really those two players, obviously. Higbee's on that radar of like tight end 10 to 12 just based off opportunity, but there's a really low floor there. And then you'll see if one of the wide receivers steps up after Cooper Kupp because the opportunity's there. I mean, between maybe them having to throw more than they've had in the past because the defense is losing so many pieces and the fact that they run so much 11 personnel that outside of Cooper Kupp, there's going to be two other receivers on the field at all times. Or not at all times, but most of the time. So we will see if the Rams can make us look bad and just, you know, compete and get back towards the top of the NFC West where they had been for so many years. But they have to be healthy. They still have McVay. They still have one of the best offensive minds in the league. We'll see what they can do. I probably have them winning. You know, I don't have like set predictions, projections down, but I would probably, you know, the NFC is pretty wide open, obviously. I think they're able to win eight games, you know, and that can give them a shot, right? It's all you need is a shot. Just we'll have to see. It really comes down to me with health for this team, with Stafford especially. So that will do it for the LA Rams. We'll close out the NFC West tomorrow with the Arizona Cardinals, and then we'll go to the Buffalo Bills. The AFC East, there was a lot of interesting stuff on that article about what this team has to do, because the raw numbers say their offense was great last season, but there were some points where they just have to be a lot more improved, and they should look a little bit different with some of the moves they made the offseason. Dalton Kincaid, and they've been trying desperately to add more yards after the catch. Can they finally do that? I wrote about that and a lot more in the Bills preview, which will be live on the site on Wednesday. You can read that as well as all of the articles in the coaching and coordinating series at ftnfantasy.com. Again, check out all the other content as well. We're doing the second year scouting report series pretty much every day now, where a handful of the amazing analysts at FTN Fantasy break down what happened during one of the rookies' seasons, right? I think James Cook was on Tuesday. Talks about kind of what went right, what didn't go as well, and the kind of dynasty value and what to project from these players going forward. So great articles. Also, sleepers, busts, and breakouts, podcasts, best ball content. Again, I've said it so many times. This is my favorite time of the season. I love leading up to camp and kind of, you know, breaking down all these teams, all these players, and what we could expect and what we hope to see from these players for fantasy football purposes in 2023. But that'll do it for me. I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time with the Cardinals, followed by the AFC East, starting with my beloved Buffalo Bills. For the FTN DataCast, I'm Adam Pfeiffer. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at A Pfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.